last week on Thomas and the Bible, we finish up 2 Corinthians. So, 2 Corinthians walk into a bar, but unfortunately, one of them is the Pasol, and everyone has to listen to his stories about how God damned awesome he is. Again. Literally, the rest of Corinthians is the Pasol bragging and letting him know that he's only doing it in the letter so he doesn't have to in person. On the plus side, we are done with Corinthians. Thomas then gives us a preview to Galatians. Bad news, it's another letter from the Pasol, so strap in for more. This week in Thomas and the Bible. I'm so looking forward to Revelations.
Ah, another hit from Kevin. A hit intro. Thanks, Kevin. I really appreciate it. So we're on Galatians. Guess what? It's another letter to some people that probably didn't want to receive his letter. And once again, I just imagined this, the town crier saying, "Oh, look, everyone, we've got another letter from Pasol." And simultaneously, everyone does the jack-off motion with their hand. Yeah, oh, you know, Paul, he's the guy who writes us letters about our religion and stuff. Like, dude, get a girlfriend or something, man. You gotta be kidding me with this. It gives me so much pleasure to imagine everyone in Galatia or whatever, I don't know, just completely thinking Paul is the lamest person in the world, or Pasol. Or Saul, Paul. Paul? We'll say Paul. But here's the cool thing. The way the pages work out, I'm really glad that I didn't start Galatians last week, because now we just get to read all of Galatians. It's only 6 chapters. So we're going to do all of Galatians. It's 1-6 today. So what the hell? Let's get started. Paul, an apostle, he always has to have these big intros that are like, you know, hereby, me being Paul of sound mind and body, and I don't know if you know this, I met Jesus once. Yeah, it was on the way to Damascus. Have I told this story? That's usually how it goes. But anyway, Paul, an apostle, not of men, parentheses, by the way, not of men, neither by men, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. In parentheses, and all the brethren which are with me under the churches of Galatia, grace be to you and peace from God the Father, and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from from him that called you into the grace of Christ, unto another gospel. This is a question. I think this must have happened everywhere. So Pasol and his little cult, his cult leader tendencies, he probably went around to different towns and was just like, here, you do everything that I do religion-wise. Here's what you do. And then he would leave for 5 minutes. And then they'd be like, God, can you believe that guy telling us what to do? Thank God that's over with. Were you... Oh, okay. So you were just being nice to him too. Yeah, I was just being nice to him. God, I just want to live my life. I don't want some guy telling me what to do. Oh, thank God. I was so worried that you were really buying into that bullshit. Oh, no. I was just being nice so that guy would leave us alone. Yeah, well, now that he's left town, I mean, I'm sure we won't hear from him again. Oh, what's this, a letter? That kind of thing. That's what I like to, that's what I prefer to think went on. So he's saying like, hey guys, I was just talking to you and it seemed like we were all on the same page. Like you would do everything that I said just right. But now I leave and, my little birds tell me that you're not doing everything. That's pretty much every one of these letters, which is not another, but there may be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you, then that which we have preached you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed. So that's a great way to decide things. So his policy, his proof for his gospel is sort of like, I was here first. I claim these people. I give him a gospel. And then he's like, if anyone, he even says, if it's an angel, don't even believe it. I already gave you the right gospel. So is that a rule of life? Like we should all just count on the fact that the first person to give us a gospel is right about it and everyone who comes after is wrong? What if the devil got to him? What if the devil got here first? Would that be that hard? He could have just given us the wrong gospel. But no one thinks of that. For do I now persuade men or God? Do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. For ye have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how, it is conversation. I was thinking it would be conversion, but no. You've heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God. Here we go. Here we go with the backstory, with the credentials. I, too, was a non-believer. Oh, yeah. I used to romp with the best of them. I used to persecute Jews better than anyone that ever did. You ever heard of Hitler? No? Oh, yeah, that's right. Never mind. Bad example. Beyond measure, and wasted it. And profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous in the tradition of my fathers. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. Neither went I up to Jerusalem unto them that which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again to Damascus. Then after 3 years I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. But other of the apostles saw I none, save James, the Lord's brother. Now of the things which I write unto you, behold, before God I lie not. Afterward I came into the regions of Cilicia, and was unknown by face unto the churches of Judea which were in Christ. But they had heard only that which persecuted us in times past now preacheth the faith once which he destroyed. And they glorified God in me. I messed that up. He didn't persecute Jews. I guess he persecuted Christians. So that joke didn't make sense, actually. I take it back. Did Hitler persecute Christians? No? Damn. Okay, that joke didn't work. But anyway, what happened there was he was just talking about how he got his message direct from Jesus. And he's like, I didn't even talk to anybody. I didn't go. I wasn't influenced by the other disciples. I went straight to Arabia, just hung out, found myself for a little bit. And then I came to you, pretty much, somehow. Like, I don't know what argument that is other than maybe he's trying to differentiate himself from the apostles or something, but he's basically saying his message is more pure because he got it from his vision, which, again, we're harping on the vision, the road to Damascus, every time. All right, Galatians 2. Then, 14 years after, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me also. And I went up by revelation and communicated unto them that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, but privately to them which were of reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. But neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. And that because of false brethren unawares brought in, who came in privily to spy out of our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage, to whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. But of these who seemed to be somewhat whatsoever they were, it maketh no matter to me, God accepteth no man's person. For they who seemed to be somewhat in conference added nothing to me. But contrariwise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter, for he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of circumcision, the same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles. And when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen, and that they unto the circumcision. Only they would that we should remember the poor, the same which I also was forward to do. But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face, because he was to be blamed. For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles, but when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. And the other Jews dissembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, if thou, being a Jew, livest after the manner of the Gentiles, and not as the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as the Jews? We who are Jews by nature, and not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. But if while we seek to be justified in Christ, we ourselves are also found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. Oh, that's one of those rhetorical questions that he can't answer. So he just says, right? For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For I through the law am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness came by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. So what's happening here is basically there's a disagreement between Paul and like some other apostles about whether you still have to live up to Jewish law. And they're kind of going, they're wishy-washy about it. Like, Paul is saying, no, you don't have to. You don't have to do it. No one have to do anything. And circumcision happens to be one of the big ones, you know, that obviously. And what strikes me as odd is that people are even debating it. Like, if someone came and told me, like, hey, you can be saved and be righteous and go to heaven and all that, and you don't have to cut the skin off your penis, I'd be like, done. Okay, what's the drawback? Is that it? And then someone else came and said, hey, no, I need you to cut the skin off your penis. I'd be like, you know, I heard this other guy, though, and I think I'm going to go with him. His arguments are better. I don't know. I would make up any excuse. I'm definitely going with him. He was better looking. I don't know. He seemed more Jesus-y. So I don't know why this is such a problem. I also don't know why there's still people who are trying to get other people to. Is it like a hazing thing? That's really what it is. The Jews are like, no, dude, in order to get into this club, you got to chop the skin off your penis. You have to. And then Paul comes and he's like a spoil sport. He's like the principal or whatever, you know, the dean. He's like, no, are you trying to get them to cut the things off their penis again? Come on. How many times do I have to tell you? They don't have to do that. That's hazing. You can't make them do that. What kind of perverts are like insisting on this rule? No, you have to. You gotta. I'll do it. Let me do it. Can I do it? Here, I got a knife. I'll do it. Whip out your penis. All right, Galatians 3. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you? This only would I learn of you. Receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are ye so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? Have ye suffered so many things in vain? If it be in vain, yet in vain. Oh, sorry, end of the sentence. I thought I was starting a new one. He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is every one that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of law to do them. But no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. It is evident, for the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. So this is where he's going to explain, like, look, okay, so he's basically said, like, forget the law. Okay, look, I know it was, you know, it was really important back then, and God was all about it, and he said you'd die if you didn't do it. I know what he said. Okay. He was a little drunk, and he didn't mean that. So this is where Pessoa has to come up with an explanation of, like, let's see, why did the law matter then and not now? And so let's see what he comes up with here. Christ hath redeemed us from the cause of the law. Oh, okay. So Jesus just, like, he just undid that or something. I don't know. Being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree. That blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men. Though it be but a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannulleth or addeth thereto. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before in God and Christ, the law, which was 430 years after, cannot disannul, that it should make the promise of none effect. For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more of promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. Wherefore then serveth the law? So yeah, exactly. Like, what's the point? It was added because of transgressions, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made, and it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. Now a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. Huh? Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid, for if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been given by the law. But the scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given unto them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore was the law our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster, for ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye all are one in Christ Jesus. If ye be Christ's, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So that's the end of that one. Yeah. I don't really know. So the answer is, I don't know. Did we have the law and then now we don't care about the law? Just because you needed something to do. You needed something with which to occupy yourself, until Jesus came and then died. And then now you've got plenty to do. Now, I don't know. I really don't get the logic. It's essentially like, well, it just was a placeholder to keep you, holy until, Christ Jesus got here, and then he can do that. So, but then why was the law so stupid? No one asked that. Why was the law, like, shellfish and all that? This doesn't really serve as a defense against that. Oh, the law doesn't count. Yeah, but it did count for a while. It counted for 430 years. We could have lived in that time. Why was the law so dumb? Why did you have to stone someone to death for adultery or for homosexuality or what? Does that keep you holy? Anyway, it clearly does not answer the actual questions that any sane person would have with as regards the law. Are you guys itching for some more Galatians? Because I've got four more Galatians here. No, three more Galatians, and we're on Galatians 4 is what I meant to say. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of that time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Howbeit then, when ye knew not God, ye did service unto them which by nature are no gods. But now, after that ye have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements, wherein ye desire again to be in bondage? Ye observe days and months and times and years. I am afraid of you, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain. Brethren, I beseech you, be as I am, for I am as ye are. Ye have not injured me at all. Ye know how through infirmity of the flesh I preached the gospel unto you at the first. And my temptation, which was in my flesh, ye despised not, nor rejected, but received me as an angel of God, even of Christ Jesus. Where is then the blessedness ye spake of? For I bear you record that if it had been possible, ye would have plucked out your own eyes and given them to me. So he's talking about how he used to be so loved. Like, we used to be friends. You used to want to, you know, gouge out your own eyeballs, and if I needed one, like, hey, can I borrow an eyeball? Oh, yeah, sure. Pop sound. Am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? They zealously affect you, but not well. Yea, they would exclude you that ye might affect them. But it is good to be zealously affected, always in a good thing, and not only when I am present with you. My little children, of whom I travail in birth again, until Christ be formed in you, I desire to be present with you now, and to change my voice, for I stand in doubt of you. Tell me that ye desire to be under the law. Do ye not hear the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondmaid, the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh, but he who was of the free woman was by promise. Which things are an allegory? For these are the two covenants, the one from the Mount Sinai, which gendereth to bondage, which is Agar. For this Agar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answereth to Jerusalem, which now is, and is in bondage with her children. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. For it is written, Rejoice, thou barren, that bearest not, break forth and cry, thou that travailest not, for the desolate hath many more children than that which hath an husband. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. But as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the Spirit, even so it is now. Nevertheless, what saith the Scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be an heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. So this is just a little story, a history, a little allegory. Well, he says it's an allegory. It's a story that goes back to way back when the beginning of the show, a million years ago, when Abraham had two wives, pretty much. He had the one, and she couldn't have kids. And so he's like, their idea is, well, the way Abraham told it, he said, oh, the wife suggested I go have sex with this other girl just to, you know, have kids. And he's like, oh, man, if I have to, I don't know if I could. Okay, I'm doing it. And then he did that, and then she had babies. And then like, he comes back and is like, no, have sex with me again. And so he does, and then she eventually gets pregnant. And Pasal is saying this is an allegory somehow for, like, one was conceived in law and the other was conceived in faith. Even though there's really no literal connection of any kind. Like, there's no reason to think that would mean that. But I guess, see, that's the thing. When you're talking about the Bible and speaking loosely and sort of artistically, you can get away with anything. You just say anything. And then people will be like, oh, yeah, he did have two wives, didn't he? And that totally fits this thing you're trying to tell us. Anyway, Galatians 5. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised, that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. For we, through the Spirit, wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. I have confidence in you through the Lord, that you will be none otherwise minded, but he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whoever he be. And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution then? Then is the offense of the cross ceased. Why, man, I don't know where I'm getting these words. I would they were even cut off which trouble you. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this: thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed as one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations? What? What does that mean? Can't use emulators to play NES games on your computer. Don't do it. Wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders and drunkenness and revelings and such like. Basically all the fun things. Don't do them. Of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. For the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. It's funny that he said, so I mean, he had a message and then it basically was like, yeah, be good. But in the beginning, he's like, no, if you get circumcised, you're out, man. And I think like, why? It's weird that that would be, because it seems like God would only see that as a bonus, you know, because God did require circumcision. And then he's like, no, that's fine. You don't have to. But I feel like if we got God a circumcision, you know, be like, God, I got you a circumcision. Here's my penis. He'd be like, oh, you didn't have to. I said you didn't have to, and you did anyway. That is so sweet. Thank you, guys, for getting me a circumcision penis. I really appreciate it. Don't you think that would be the reaction? I don't know why he's so against it. Like, yeah, it's a little bonus for God. Like, yeah, here's a tip. Literally. God, I got a little tip for you. Didn't even mean to do that. Okay, we're on to the last chapter, Galatians 6. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye to one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all the things, in all the good things, in all good things. I don't know. I just add words for notes. You've actually gotten twice the number of words than are actually in the Bible. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Ye see how large a letter I have written unto you. This is like one of the shorter letters, too. He seriously said, he's overcompensating. You see how large a letter I've written to you with mine own hand. I wonder if it's like one of those things where he takes two girls to the prom and then tries to keep them from seeing each other. It's like that. He's like, oh, they'll never know that I've written other letters, every single one of which is longer than this one. Oh, yeah, this is the longest one I've written to any city. I promise, to any city. You guys are my favorite. As many as desire to make a fair shoe in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised, that they may glory in your flesh. But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them and mercy and upon the Israel of God. From henceforth let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. I feel like he was just kind of filler, you know, for that. Because he realized he'd already written such a short letter. So he's like, oh, what else can I say? And peace be of you, brothers of God. And you shall fulfill, if in you do, that ye fulfill everything that I said. And then we'll all be brothers. And he's like, God, I just need anything. I need content. I need content, people. No. So let's see. I'd like to thank a couple new patrons, John Heck and Malachi Constant. Thank you guys for your pledge. I very much appreciate that over at patreon.com/TNTheB, supporting the show. And to my all-time greats, John Bodley, Chris Lukowski, Marcel, Philip Gatt, Sarah McPike, Japan Dan, George Green, Charles Bangwiener, Tom Chambers, Brian Garefort, Lee Primesberger, John P., Travis Peterson, and Heriberto. Thank you guys so much for being my not honorable mentions. You're my every time patrons for pledging $10 or $5. Thank you guys so much. I really appreciate it. Makes the show happen. And thanks for another great show. It's Basal ruining our lives each week. And we'll look to another week when he'll ruin our lives even further. So until then, I bid you adieu.